cheer and boo and raise a hullabaloo at the ball game today.
Batter off, strike one.
Hey, the game has just begun and the home team's out to win.
Mary swing,
strike two.
And the pitcher's dipsy too. Gee, his fastball pop right in.
This is it,
strike three.
Fans are tearing up the chairs, but what the heck, who cares? It's a beautiful day for a ball game, for a ball game today. If you and I are out of dollars and cents,
oh honey, we can always share a little hole in the fence.
It's a beautiful day for the ladies, so throw all your dishes away. We're gonna cheer and boo and raise a hullabaloo at the ball game today. At the ball game, the wonderful ball game today. Wow!
It is a ritual that has been practiced secretly for generations. An act so disturbing, it is performed only under the cloak of darkness. It is the horror feared all across America.
Matt the Cat!
Oh, man!
There's grass on the field, so let's play ball! Another baseball season is about to begin, and baby, we can once again start anew. One of the great things about America's pastime is this time of year, every team starts with a clean slate. Doesn't matter what you did last season, you've got all the confidence in the world that this might indeed be the year. We start fresh, we start new, but we never forget where it came from. The historic seasons, the historic plays, the historic teams, those great records. What will happen this year? Who will win 20 games or more? Will anyone come close to hitting 406? Who's going to move a step closer to becoming the next home run king? There'll be historic bottom of the ninth wins, diving catches, leaping into the stands, just like every year. Because baseball never really leaves us. And this year, we need it more than ever. Put this hard economic winter behind us. Give us green fields. Give us warm spring and summer air. And give us some amazing plays. I'm your furry leader, Matt the Cat, where it's at, presenting to you my annual baseball radio show. This year, for the first time, it appears on the World Wide Web as a podcast. So you can enjoy it over and over again. And I hope you do, and I hope you will. So let's play ball, baby, and start those turntables a-spinning. We're going to go back to the most important historical baseball song ever written. The words were written by Jack Norworth in 1908. It has appeared on record so many times, well, kind of lose count after a while. Here's one of the first recordings. This was the most popular recording of its day. Released on the Victor label in 1908, it features the Hayden Quartet singing group and their rendition of Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Katie, Katie was sick or mad, had the fever and had it bad. Just to root for the hometown crew, every school, Katie Blue. On a Saturday, her young foe called to see if he'd like to go to see a show. But Miss Kate said, no, I'll tell you what you can do. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Oh, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the whole team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Oh, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, the players by their first name. Told the umpire he was wrong all along, good and strong. When the score was just 2-2, Katie Casey knew what to do. So just to cheer up the boys she knew, she made the gang sing this song.
Take me out to the ballgame, take me out to the crowd. Oh, buy me some peanuts and crackers, and I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the whole team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1-2-3 strike, you're out of the old ball game.
The hot dog of the game beats roast beef at the Ritz. Well, that's baseball, and it's my game. You know, you take your worries to the park and you leave them there. You yell like crazy for your guys. Good for your lungs. Gives you a lift and nobody calls the cops. Pretty girls, lots of them. But none any prettier than Baby. Are you listening, Baby?
If I pitch, can you catch? Will you hold the ball? When you step to the plate, will you swing and fall? If you play, you gotta know how it's done. Can you catch, can you hold a hard one? I mean, baby, do you know the game? I mean, baby, do you know the game? I'm a big league pitcher. Can you catch the hurling sling? Can you hit ball I throw to you? Southpaw, can you hit ball I throw to you? But get your bat ready, baby. Let's see what you can do. Do you, baby, know what it's all about? Do you, baby, know what it's all about? I need a pinch hitter, 'cause my last man just fanned out. So get your bat ready, baby. 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 Let's have some fun. If you can hit that ball, you can make a home run. Play ball. Strokes too slow. When I wind up, I'm pitching my all to you. When I wind up, pitching my all to you. So get your bat ready, baby. Let's see what you can do. Get your bat ready, baby. Get your bat ready, baby. Get your bat ready, baby. Get your bat ready, baby.
Riendo. If Easley gets on, Tony Phillips would come up. This is not a man that Messina wants to walk. He's only a 210 hitter. He has only one hit in the series. He's been slumping lately. Well, Moose comes back after him with a fastball. It's 3-1.
Well, most pitchers realize the consequences of walking the number nine hitter. And usually the number nine hitter is the worst hitter in the lineup.
Popped him up. Manny Alexander out into right field. He's got it. And now it's time for the moment you've been waiting for. The Orioles are running in from the bullpen to the dugout to congratulate Cal Ripken. All of the relief pitchers, everybody out of the bullpen, coming into the dugout. is official now. Cal Ripken has broken Lou Gehrig's record. The new record set by the Orioles Iron Man, 2,131 consecutive games.
The Whiz Kids had won it. Bobby Thompson had done it. And Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born. Marijuana we would scorn. So down on the corner, the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball. Klazuski, Campanella. Talking baseball. The man and Bobby Fella. The scooter, the barber, and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque. Especially Willie, Mickey, and the Duke. Well, Casey was winning, Hank Aaron was beginning, one Robbie going out, one coming in. Kiner and Midget Goodell, the Thumper and Mel Parnell, and Ike was the only one winning down in Washington. I'm talking baseball, Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball. The man and Bobby Fella, the scooter, the barber, and the Duke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque, especially Willie, Mickey, and the Duke. Now my old friend, the Bachelor, well, he swore he was the Oklahoma kid. And Cookie played hooky to go and see the Duke. And me, I always loved Willie Mae. Those were the days. Well, now it's the 80s, and Brett is the greatest, and Bobby Bonds can play for everyone. Rose is at the vet, Rusty again is a Met, and the great Alexander is pitching again in Washington. I'm talking baseball, like Reggie, Queasy, and Berry. Talking baseball, Carew and Gaylord Perry, Seaver, Garvey, Schmidt, and Vida Blue. Calling, it's no fluke. They'll be with Willie, Mickey, and the Duke. Willie, Mickey, and the Duke.
Say hey, say hey, say hey.
It was Willie, Mickey, and the Duke.
Say hey, say hey, say hey.
I'm talking Willie.
Talking baseball, Willie, Mickey, and the Duke. It's the annual baseball special. I'm Matt the Cat, where it's at, baby. And this is a Friday Night Cat Fight as well. So coming up near the end of the program, we'll have a battle between Buddy Johnson and Count Basie over the song, Did You See Jackie Robinson Hit That Ball, Baby? Woo, mercy. That's coming up later on in the show. Now, we just heard Talking Baseball, Terry Cashman. Well, you know, he did a version of that song for just about every single major league team. And I've put a few of them together so we can kind of get a feel of what they sounded like without playing all of them. So let's hear my home-produced baseball medley of Talkin' Baseball. This one features the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Tigers, the Cubs, and the Twins. It's the Friday Night Cat Fight Baseball Show.
Ernie Shaw was the perfect one. When Babe Ruth, he got the thumb. For a price, they sent him down to old New York. Things went bad till Cronin came. In 46, they won again. The Sox had Tex and pesky team with Bobby Dorr. I'm talking baseball. Wes Farrell and Doc Kramer. Boston baseball. Cy and Trist, the Hall of Famers. Dominic Parnell and Jimmy Fox. The Thumper just waiting in the box. I'm talking baseball. Baseball and the Sox.
Well, Casey took over, the Yankees owned October. Whitey was the chairman of the board. Then the boss came into bat with Reggie and the Cat. They ended the skit with Billy the Kid in the Bronx. They roared, I'm talking baseball. Yogi, Moose, and Jerry, Yankee baseball. Pepitone and Terry, Ellie Kubek, Munson never quit. And the porch and right was Rogers' ballywick. Like the Bambino, the Clipper, and the Mick. Now when you're talking Tiger baseball, Rusty and old Black Mike, Caesar seven hits in one, what would Mark the Bird have done? One Tiger had two slams in one game, Northrop was his name. Out of hibernation, the Cubs will take their stations and play the summer game into the fall. Marquis and DeRosa, Ryan Dempster is our closer. Our manager's Lou and the Cubbies are due, so let's play ball. I'm talking baseball. Cliff Floyd and Soriano, Cubs baseball. The Riot and Zambrano, Aramis and Derek are the hubs. Jones and Hill and Lily on the club. Talking baseball. Baseball and the Cubs.
There was Tony, the Killer and Carew. There was Tony, the Killer and Carew.
Kirby, Kirby, Kirby.
Talking baseball.
He makes a one-handed catch against the bullpen. Oh, doctor.
Out on the porch in the summer heat, the sound of a southerner's voice filled the street. Me and the redhead were up in the catbird seat. And out in St. Louis, it was surely the same. Holy cow, what a baseball game. The sacks are loaded and here comes that man again. And it was play by play on the radio. Play by play on the radio. Play by play, I saw it on the radio. The swing of the splinter, DiMaggio's glide. The men at the mics made it come alive. Ernie and Mel and Bob was a prince of a guy. Out of thin air, pictures somehow appeared. You could smell the hot dogs and taste the beer. You felt the excitement as the crowd began to cheer. And it was play by play.
Swings and there's a long drive hit deep into right field, going way back, 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 back. She goes and you may kiss it goodbye over the roof for a home run.
The men at the mic, they make it come alive. Oh, what a catch! There's a long, long drive. Turn it up louder. The pictures are coming in fine. And it's play by play on the radio. Play by play on the radio.
I was asking you, sir, why it is that baseball wants this bill passed.
I would say I wouldn't know, but I would say the reason why they'd want it passed is to keep baseball going as the highest baseball sport that has gone into baseball, and from the baseball angle. I'm not going to speak of any other sport. I'm not in here to argue about other sports. I'm in the baseball business. It's been run cleaner than any baseball business that was ever put out in the 100 years at the present time.
Well, Mr. Mantle, do you have any observations with reference to the applicability of the antitrust laws to baseball?
My views are just about the same as Casey's. Eh?
Mickey who?
You know who, the fellow with the celebrated swing. Oh, I love Mickey.
Mickey who?
You know who, the one who drives me batty every spring. If I don't make a hit with him, my heart'll break in two. I wish that I could catch him and pitch a little woo. I love Mickey.
Mickey who?
Mickey you.
Mickey me.
And that's who. Muscles are a mighty sight to see. Oh, I love Mickey.
Mickey who?
You know who, the one I want to steal right home with me. Oh, I'd sacrifice most anything to win his many charms. I'd like to be a fly ball and pop right in his arms. Oh, I love Mickey.
Mickey who?
Mickey Mantle.
Who, me?
Who, I love you.
Not Yogi Berra.
Who, I love you. Mickey!
I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball. Because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. Well, I asked him, honey, hey, what do you want? He said, honey, babe, there's only one thing I want, and that's some baseball shoes. And that's why I've got the baseball blues. I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. The baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. Well, I've been to the store 1, 2, 3, 4 times. I said, hey, mister, have you got any more of them baseball shoes? Because my baby's got the baseball blues. I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. Because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. Well, every time I've been to the shop, I say, mister, mister, any baseball shoes have you got? My baby's got the baseball blues. Because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. I've got the baseball blues. Because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. I said that I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. Well, baseballs, will you have me? 'Cause it seems like I'm the only thing that's free. And give up the baseball blues, 'cause you ain't got no baseball shoes. Do 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 da 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 da.
Hamill's got those baseball blues. I'm Matt the Cat. This is the annual baseball show. It's the Friday Night Cat Fight, and there will be a cat fight coming up near the end of the program over the song, Did You See Jackie Robinson Hit That Ball? I'll be looking for your votes over on mattthecat.com/FNCF. All right, baby. Now, this routine has been done many, many times. Bud Abbott and Lou Costello did it in several of their movies, even performed it at the request of President Roosevelt. But the routine actually goes back quite a ways before Abbott and Costello got their hands on it. It was originally featured in the 1930 movie Crack Nuts, where comedian Burt Wheeler and Robert Woolsey examine a map of a mythical kingdom where the premise is, what is next to which? And, of course, all craziness ensues. But the routine was first introduced by Abbott and Costello in the 1940 picture, One Night in the Tropics. We're going to hear one of those many recorded versions of the classic, Who's On First, now. Here's Abbott and Costello on the annual baseball show.
How do you like my ball club, Lou?
Hey, all those people going to be at the game today?
Certainly.
Oh, this is going to be a whopper of a game.
Oh, well, it should be.
Hey, Abbott, I understand they made you the manager of this here Colgate team.
Why not?
So you're the manager?
I'm the manager.
Well, you know, I'd like to know some of the guys' names on the team, so when I meet them on the street or in the ballpark, I'll be able to say hello to those people.
Why, sure, I'll introduce you to the boys. They give them funny names, though, Lou.
Oh, I know they give those ball players awful funny names.
Now, let's see, on the team we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
You the manager?
Yes.
You know the guy's name?
I should.
Well, then tell me the guy's names.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
You the manager?
And then yes.
You know the guy's names?
I'm telling you their names.
Well, who's on first?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for? I'm asking you.
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you.
You ain't telling me nothing. I'm asking you who's on first.
That's it.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first base.
That's his name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for? I'm asking you who's on first.
That's it.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
That's it.
What's the guy's name on first?
Now, what's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
That's what I'm asking you.
Now,
who's on first?
Don't change the place.
I'm not changing nobody. I ask you a simple question. What's the guy's name on first base?
What's the guy's name on second
base? I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. Now, we're not talking about him.
Look, you got a first baseman?
Yes.
Then tell me the fella's name playing first.
Who?
The guy playing first.
That's his name.
Wait, what's the guy's name on first base?
Why, there's the guy's name on second base.
Who's playing second?
Who's playing first?
I don't know.
He's on third base. What's the matter with you, can't you?
Look, when you pay off the first baseman every month, who do you pay the money to?
Every dollar.
Yeah. Look, you got to pay the money to somebody on first base,
yes.
Don't you? Does he give you a receipt?
Sure.
How does he sign the receipt?
Who?
The guy that you give the money to.
Who?
The guy you give the money to.
That's how he signs.
That's how who signs?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
When you give the guy the money, don't he have to sign a receipt?
He does, Lou.
Well, how does he sign his name?
Who?
The guy you give the
That's how he signs.
You dope!
Now, take it easy.
You just don't give money to somebody without them giving you a receipt.
So who signs it?
What are you asking me?
Now, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you.
Well, go ahead. Tell me. What's the guy's name that signs the receipt on first
base? Wait a minute. What signs his own receipt?
Who signs his own receipt?
No, who signs his?
I'm asking you, when the guy on first base gives you a piece of paper,
yes,
he puts his name on it.
So who puts his name on it? What puts
How does the fella's name on first base look to you when he signs his name?
Who?
To you.
That's how he looks.
How does it look to you?
Who?
To you.
Who?
To you.
Who?
Look. When the guy signs his name, how does it look to you?
Look, that's how it looks.
Who?
Who?
I'm asking you, what's the guy's name on first base you give the money to?
Who? After all, the man's entitled to it.
Who is?
Yes. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yeah, sure.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
What is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's
third base.
First.
I know that. You got an outfield?
Sure.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask you.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
Because.
Oh, the center field.
Oh.
I don't know these players as well.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name in left field.
Now, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. You got a pitcher on the team?
Wouldn't this be a fine team without a pitcher?
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me the day?
I'm telling you, Lou.
Then go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now, listen. Who is not...
I'll break your arm, you say, who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know. Third base. You got a catcher?
Sure.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today. You don't want to tell me today, tomorrow, do you?
I'm telling you.
So the catcher's name?
Today.
Today, and tomorrow's pitching.
Now you've got it.
Now I got it.
That's so got it. Now stop.
All we got is a couple of days on
the
team.
Well, I can't help that.
All right. You know, now I'm a good catcher. Now, I get behind a plate, and tomorrow's pitching on my team, and the heavy hitter gets up.
Yes.
Now, when he gets up, me being a good catcher, I'm going to throw the guy out at first base. So the guy bunts the ball. I pick up the ball. I'm going to throw the guy out at first base. So I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
But that's all you
that's
have.
That's all I do is throw the ball at first base. Now, who's got it?
Naturally. Now
you've got it. If I throw the ball at first base, somebody's got to get the ball. Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to Naturally.
He gets the ball. You throw the ball to first base.
Then who gets it?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to Naturally.
Naturally
gets the ball and...
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's
what I'm saying.
You're not saying it that way.
I said I throw the ball to Naturally.
No, you don't.
I throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's what I'm saying. I throw the ball to first base. Somebody's got to get
so
it.
So who gets it?
Naturally. Okay. Now I ask you, who gets it?
Naturally.
Same as you.
No, it's not.
I throw the ball to Naturally.
You throw the ball to who?
Then who gets it?
Naturally.
He better get it. So I throw the ball to first base. All whoever it is drops the ball and the guy runs a second. Now, who picks up the ball and throws it to what?
Yes.
What throws it to, I don't know. I don't know, throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Could be.
And now that guy gets up and hits a long fly ball to be called.
Yes.
Why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't give a darn.
What'd you say?
I said I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
I knew the importance of the occasion. I knew that I was going to be somewhat out in front, and perhaps I would have to take a lot of abuse. I remember Mr. Ricky saying to me that I couldn't fight back, and I wondered whether or not I was going to be able to do this. I knew that this was bigger than any one individual, and I would have to do whatever I possibly could to control myself. Well, the one thing that I would have to do was to work as hard as I possibly could to see to it that things went just the way that Mr. Rickey wanted them to do. I had the best teacher in baseball. I had the best man that to work with, and I was very happy. As an American, this meant a important step forward as far as I was concerned. I felt that it was finally the elimination of one of the bigger challenges that most Americans had to face. I felt real good as an American, much more so than as being the first Negro in organized baseball.
Jackie Robinson.
That's right. How are you?
Pretty well, Jackie. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks.
I suppose you know, by the way, that three boys from Louisiana came up here on a Louisiana Youth Fellowship just to see you and the Dodgers in the World Series. They'll be outside when you get there.
Well, that's fine. I'm certainly proud that we were able to be in this series so they could see us.
How do you feel? Ready to go?
Oh, we're all ready. Yes, indeed.
Who's going to win?
Well, that's pretty hard to say. We've got all of our hopes up. We think that we have the team to do it, and we're going to be out there battling all the way through.
Thanks.
If we don't win, the Yanks will know they've been in a battle.
Thanks a lot, Jackie. And Six of Rockers, that's the story in Brooklyn today. Now back to Lyle Vann in Studio 10.
Cleveland got Larry Doby, Brooklyn's got Jackie Robinson. Now the pitcher got scared, let Jackie walk. He stole second and third and come home on a walk. Hooray, hooray, time has really come. Cleveland got Larry Doby, Brooklyn's got Jackie Robinson. Doby in the outfield, letting nothing get by. Jackie hitting so safe, you swear the ball had eyes on. Hey, hey, time has really come. Cleveland got Larry Doby, Brooklyn's got Jackie Robinson. Everybody. Jackie Robinson. Grandpa looking at television, pulling a whisker on his chin. He hollered real loud, Jackie's done it again. Hooray, hooray, time has really come. Cleveland got Larry Doby, Brooklyn's got Jackie Robinson. He knocked the ball out of the park, but let me tell you the news. When the man brought the ball back in the wheels on his shoes. Hooray, hooray, time has really come.
Bobby Thompson up there swinging. He's had two out of three, a single and a double, and Billy Cox is playing him right on the third base line. One out, last of the ninth, Blacker pitches. Bobby Thompson takes a strike call on the inside corner. Bobby hitting at 292. He's had a single and a double, and he drove in the Giants' first run with a long fly to center. Brooklyn leads it 4-2. Hightown down the line at third, not taking any chances. Lockton without too big of a lead at second, but he'll be running like the wind if Thompson hits one. Franker throws. There's a long shot! It's going to be, I believe! The Giants run the pellet! 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 Bobby Thompson hits into the very deck of the left field stand! The Giants run the pellet! And they're going crazy! They're going crazy!
Bobby Thompson up and carrying him off the field. go get it.
What do you mean, go get it? Man, that ball's way in left field.
I don't care what field it's in. Willie plays all fields.
Every time we come to the game, you're talking about Willie plays all the fields.
That's right. He plays.
Let's call Willie and ask him. Call him.
Okay. Hey, Willie.
Yes.
Are you Willie Mays?
Yes.
Whose ball was that?
Why was it?
In left field.
Well, that's Irvin's ball.
I told you that. Every time we come to the game, we got to talk about it. The next time, I'm going to sit in the grandstand.
Say, hey, fellas, what's your name?
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Swinging at the plate. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. That giant kid is great. When he hits the ball, it's long gone, man. Hits it farther than camp began. Swings the bat like a little lead pipe. When they reach the ball, it's overripe. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Swing it at the plate. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. That giant kid is great.
He runs the bases like a choo-choo train. Swings around second like an aeroplane. His cap flies off when it passes third. And he heads home like an eagle bird.
Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Swinging at the plate. Say hey.
Say
Willie, that giant kid is great. Yes, he covers center like he had jet shoes. The other batters get the Willie blues. Anything hit his way is out. Man, it just don't pay those guys to clout. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Swinging at the plate. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie, that giant kid is great.
Served his Uncle Sam. He left the Giants in an awful jam. But now he's back and he's Leo's joy. And Willie's still a growing boy.
Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Swinging at the plate. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. That giant kid is great. That giant kid is great. Say Willie.
You're gonna say
hey.
Two songs about two Giants players. That's Say Hey, the Willie Mays song from the Traineers, a group I used to play all the time on my old radio show. Clifford and Claude Traineer, one of the great rhythm and blues acts that bridged the gap between rhythm and blues and rock and roll. They were right there at the beginning of rock and roll, had just a smoking group. And just one of the greatest, the Traineers. Before that, we heard Bobby Thompson's Shot Heard Round the World, October 3rd, 1951, as the Giants win the pennant. And we move from the Giants to their arch rivals, the Dodgers. Both teams, of course, have their roots in New York, and both teams left New York after the 1957 season. They headed out west, Giants settled in San Francisco, the Dodgers settled in Los Angeles. And right before they left, Phil Foster recorded a song begging and pleading for his Dodgers to remain in Brooklyn. So let's hear Phil Foster. Let's keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn. It's the Baseball Friday Night Catfight Show.
Say, did you hear the news about what's happening in Brooklyn? We really got the blues about what's happening in Brooklyn. It ain't official yet. We hope official it don't get. But beware, my friend, and let me warn you. They're thinking of taking the bums to California.
Let's keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn. Our house is not a home without some love. Don't let them leave our premises. L.A. will be their nemesis. Cause Brooklyn fits the Dodgers like a glove.
Mr. Walter O'Malley, we always called you Pally. We stuck with you through thick and thin. But if you take away the Dodgers, guys like Cappy, Nuke, and Hodges, we ain't your pal no more the way we've been.
Let's keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn. A house is not a home without some love. Don't let them leave our premises. L.A. would be their nemesis, 'cause Brooklyn fits the Dodgers like a glove.
We offer our bridges. You can thank them, witches. We have a couple we could spare. But we all feel so glum without the Duke and Gilliam. We need one left to jump off in despair. Really, what would Brooklyn be without the Dodgers? Well, Brooklyn would be like a pair of socks that's holy without Jackson and Simoli. Like a bed without a pillar, without Erskine and Perilla. Like a ship without a harbor, without Padres and the barber. Like the sun without its shine, without Zimmer and Levine. Like the birds without a bee, without Alston and Pee-wee. And here I am, a poet, and I didn't even know it. So send the Phils to Trenton, the Giants to St. Paul, but keep the bums in Brooklyn, the greatest ball of all. So
let's keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn.
You heard our plea, at last we had our say.
Your mind is in a fog if you take them to that smock. Leave the Dodgers in Brooklyn, USA.
We really love them, keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn. O'Malley, do me one favor, mind your own business and stay home. Don't leave town.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 O. I say O-M, O-M-A, O-M-A-L, O-M-A-L-L-E-Y, oh really, no O'Malley, Sandy Koufax, oh my Drysdale Maury, Wills, I love you so, and we defy, defy the J-I. J-I-N, J-I-N-T, J-I-N-T-S, Giants! Play ball! Orlando Cepeda is at bat with the bases jammed. Orlando Cepeda with a wham, bam. He hit a grand slam in the very first inning, but it's only the beginning. In the third, like a fight, we get two on and away. Then fairly hits into a double play. Here comes Big Frank Howard, yes siree. Boy, what a swing! Strike three. O-dem B, O-dem B-U, B-U-M, B-U-M-S. Them bums, them bums, them dry bums. Oh, they may be bums, but they're my bums. Top of the fifth, say hey, Willie Mays hits a three-bagger down the right field line. But he's out trying to stretch it to a homer as Roseboro tags him on the bottom of the spine with a crack you can hear all the way back up to San Francisco. Open your hospital! Inning six, Maury Wills draws a walk in the coach's box. Leo DeRocher, Leo DeRocher starts to wiggle and to twitch. A signal? No, an itch. Go, Maury, go, Maury, go, go, go. Maury goes, the catcher throws right from the solar plexus. At the bag, he beats the tag, that mighty little waif. And umpire Conlon cries, you're out! Out? Out? Down in the dugout, Alston glowers. Up in the booth, Vin Scully frowns. Out in the stands, O'Malley grins. Attendance 50,000. And what does O'Malley do? Dodge! Bottom of the ninth, four to nothing, last chance, push the button. Oh, we're pleading, begging on our knees. Come on, you Flatbush refugees. Maury Wills at bat,
hit it for me once. Stu Miller throws, Morey bunts. Cepeda runs the field, the ball, and Hiller covers first. Haller runs the backup, Hiller. Hiller crashes into Miller. Miller falls, drops the ball. Conlon calls, safe. Yay, Morey! Gilliam up. Miller grunts. Miller throws. Gilliam bunts. Cepeda runs the field, the ball, and Hiller covers first. Haller runs the backup, Hiller. Hiller crashes into Miller. Miller falls, drops the ball. Conlon calls, safe. Yay, Conlon! Willie Davis gets a hit, and Tommy does the same. Here comes Mr. Howard with a chance to win the game. Hit it once. Big Frank bunts. Cepeda runs the field, the ball, so does Hiller, so does Miller. Miller hollers, Hiller, Hiller hollers, Miller. Haller hollers, Hiller points to Miller with his fist. And that's the Miller, Hiller, Haller, Hallelujah twist. The Davis a score, it's 4-4. Howard's still running the bases. From second to third, it's almost absurd. Amazement on everyone's faces. He's heading for home, he hasn't a chance. The poor nut is gonna be dead. But the ball hits him right in the seat of his pants. And he scores. That's using your head. So I say D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Play. talked about playing under duress. I don't think anybody knows very much about what Reggie Jackson has been playing under the last few weeks. Reggie, I can announce to you right now, before we talk about one thing that really is going to be something, you have been chosen the most valuable player of the 1973 World Series. For that, Reggie, you'll receive a 1974 Dodge Dart. And I know, you're going to be driving it around in pride. Now, Reggie, there's something else that nobody has known anything about except a few people and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And Reggie said a long time ago, about 3 weeks ago, there's going to come a time when I want to tell the story. Reggie, this is it right now. Would you like to tell the story?
Well, Monty, I was at home one afternoon, and I was tired as hell. I was trying to get some rest, and I was talking on the phone, and I get an interruption in the phone call, and it's Finley. And he told me, he said, I want you to go to the ballpark right now. He said, Dick Williams is there, and there are two FBI agents. And I said to myself, what have I done? I haven't missed any alimony payments. I don't sell dope. I don't honk at any cops. I haven't done anything wrong. And so I got dressed as fast as I could, and I went out to the stadium, and Dick was there, and he was kind of looking mad, and I was a little bit afraid. We were in Mr. Finley's office, and the two FBI agents were there, and they told me that they had gotten a letter from a group called the Weathermen, so-called the Weathermen, and the letter was a threat on my life. It said, if Reggie Jackson plays in the playoffs, in the 1973 playoffs of the World Series, it'll be the last time he ever does anything. And we just took precautions, and the FBI people were great. I had an escort in Baltimore. I had an escort to and from the ballpark in New York. Everything was great. I wasn't worried at any time. But, you know, now's the time to tell the story. But now let's talk about baseball.
Absolutely, Reggie. The letter did come to us. Reggie Jackson, Most Valuable Player Award in the World Series. Congratulations to you.
Strikes on the batter, some runners are on. I don't know the inning, I've forgotten the score. The whole team is yelling and I don't know what for. And then suddenly everyone's looking at me. My mind has been wandering. What?
gotta know how to catch. You gotta know how to throw. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow.
Peter, Paul, and Mary playing right field, baby. That's a cute little tune. It's the annual baseball show. I'm Matt the Cat, where it's at. Thank you so much for joining me as we enter the second hour of this program, the longest podcast I've done to date. And I hope you're enjoying yourselves. I know I am. I love songs about baseball as much as I love baseball. It's just the perfect game. Batter against pitcher. And it's amazing how two people play the game. The pitcher throws the ball to the batter, and as soon as that ball is struck into play, the rest of the team just lights up and moves into action. It's an amazing game, a game of inches, and a game without a time limit. You can play it until it's done. And even if you're down by 10 runs and it's the bottom of the ninth and you've got two outs, there is still a slight chance that your team could come back and win the whole shebang. You just never know. Well, speaking of outfielders, one of the greatest outfielders and hitters in Boston Red Sox history was Tony C. Tony Conigliaro. Tony was part of the 1967 Dream Team for the Boston Red Sox. But unfortunately, on August 18th, 1967, while the Sox were playing the California Angels at Fenway Park, Conigliaro was batting up against Jack Hamilton and was hit by a pitch in the left cheekbone. It fractured his cheekbone and caused severe damage to his left retina. He would be out for the rest of the season. He would not play with the Sox as they made it to the World Series and ultimately lost to the Cardinals. He would try to return in 1968, but was unsuccessful. But in 1969, he hit 20 home runs as the vision in his left eye continued to worsen and brought the great career of Tony C to an end. But believe it or not, Tony C recorded a couple of records. He actually got a 4-year recording contract with RCA Records. So this is one you don't hear every day. Here's Tony Conigliaro of the Boston Red Sox singing Playing the Field. It's the Baseball Friday Night Catfight Show.
Well, I used to be a one-girl guy. Yes, I was kind of shy, but I got a real bad deal. So I'm going out, gonna play the field.
Gonna play the field. Whoa.
Now I'm no rookie at love. I know what girl I'm made of. And some hearts I'm gonna steal.
Red Sox
wishing one day they would see them win the World Series. Larry Walker comes in to get it. Two out.
Three. The game won by the Yankees, 19-8. In the eight-up innings.
Varitek gets the base hit into left. He's on with two out here in the ninth inning. A 3-0 here in game four. And that will send game four into the bottom of the ninth inning. Last chance for the Cardinals trying to do something against the Red Sox pitching. Pujols gets it started with a hit. Right through the legs of Folk. Is that the start the Cardinals need? Roland hits it in the air to right center field. Kepler, one on one out. Two down. The Red Sox are one out away. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions. It has been 86 years. Generations have come and gone. Red Sox are champions of baseball.
It's summer again up in Boston. The Red Sox are playing today. And once that first ball has been tossed in, another game gets underway. I always sit up in the bleachers. I get such a wonderful tan. I scream and I yell like a madman, so the Sox know I'm their biggest fan. Now there's two outs and bases loaded. Three balls and two strikes is the call. Crowd is now standing and cheering, 'cause Yaz hit one over the wall. And now it's the end of the inning. The Sox are ahead 12-10. I'm so glad when my home team is winning, and I've got pennant fever again. Hey, hey, Red Sox, we're all here to lend you a hand. Go, go, Red Sox, the best doggone team in the land. The batters are swinging like crazy.
What power he has. Our Boston team is always on the beam, 'cause we got Yaz. We Fenway fans, we stomp and clap our hands, and Yaz is Jazz.
rival pitchers on the mound all shake. They dread each windup that they have to take. When number 8 is standing at the plate, and then he swings. Wow, there it goes again. Wow, there it goes again. Wow, there it goes again. A rival batter hits one off the wall. Yastrzemski going for the ball. They try for two. The runner knows he's through. Ah, look at Yaz. Wow, he threw him out again. Carl Yastrzemski, Carl Yastrzemski, Carl Yastrzemski, the man they call Yaz. Carl Yastrzemski, Carl Yastrzemski, he's the idol of Boston, Mass. On Beacon Hill, he gives them quite a thrill. In Southie, too, there's lots of whoop-de-doo. In the North End, they call Carl friend, and they hope the season will never end. From Wellesley Way, they come to watch him play, and on Cape Cod, they take a holiday from all about. They come to shout, yell for Yaz to hit one out. The state of Maine is going quite insane, and in Vermont, it's only Yaz they want. From every state, they come and wait to see Yastrzemski at home plate. Our Boston team, it's always on the beam, 'cause we got Yaz. We Fenway fans, we stomp and clap our hands at Yaz's jazz. Although Yastrzemski is a lengthy name, it fits quite nicely in our Hall of Fame. We love him so. In Boston, we all know that when he swings, yeah, here we go again.
Marilyn Monroe was married to Joe DiMaggio in San Francisco today. Marilyn and Joe were married at about 1:45 p.m., but when I first heard about it, I telephoned the marriage license clerk at the City Hall in San Francisco about 1 p.m. I'd like to have you hear that conversation now. Then a little later, I'll bring you Judge Perry from his chambers just as he is about to marry Marilyn and Joe. Here now is my conversation with the marriage license clerk in San Francisco.
Hello.
Who is it?
This is the marriage license bureau.
Yeah. Did you issue a license for Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio?
No, not yet.
Are you going to very shortly?
I haven't heard. Of course, there's been rumors now for a month or so.
Well, they're supposed to be in there at 1 o'clock this afternoon to be married and to get the marriage license from you.
I see the... we just got a call from the call bulletin with United Press, and the Dick Chase and all the press boys are running around from one place to another, and I don't know what they found. They must know something, I guess.
Now, could I ask you, if they get a marriage license, would they have to get it from you?
Oh, indeed, yes.
Hello, Joe. What do you know?
We need a hit, so here I go.
Ball one.
Yay!
Ball two.
Yay!
Strike one.
Of Joe, the one-man show. He's glorified the horse-hide sphere, Jolting Joe DiMaggio.
Joe, Joe DiMaggio, we want you on our side.
He'll live in baseball. baseball's Hall of Fame. He got there blow by blow. Our kids will tell their kids his name, Joaquin Joe DiMaggio.
We dream of Joey with the light from back. Joe, Joe DiMaggio.
We want you on our side. Whispers low of how they stopped our Joe one night in Cleveland. Oh, 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 goodbye, Street DiMaggio.
And witty, who whispered to me, you are so pretty. Soon he and I were cabareting. We had a good time, goes without saying. He came to my house, all the lights were low, and then he held me close, set my heart aglow. He told me that my lips were as sweet as wine. With that he put his two lips close to mine and talked of baseball, baseball, the Dodgers and baseball, baseball, Stan Musial and baseball, baseball, all through the night, baseball, baseball. I was so mad, I got to thinking, surely this lad will start me drinking, for there was me, eager and healthy, in love with a he. Handsome and wealthy, I tried to get him in my sweet embrace. All he had on his mind was the pen and trace. And though I saw him practically every night, we never went to movies or saw a fight. We just saw baseball, baseball, DiMaggio and baseball, baseball, Chicago Cubs, baseball, baseball, DeRozier and baseball, baseball. My heart knew such humiliation that I sat and planned retaliation, using the wiles known to all women. I'd marry that man if it was human. The wedding bells rang, we were one in June. Triumphantly we went on a honeymoon. He held me very tight under stars so bright and whispered, darling, who do you love tonight? I told him, baseball, baseball, the Tigers and baseball, baseball, Ted Williams and baseball, baseball. I love the game, baseball, Yankees, Red Legs, Braves, White Sox, Indians, Phillies, Senators, Red Sox, Orioles, Athletics, Pirates, baseball, baseball, baseball.
Jane Morgan with one of my favorites, Baseball, Baseball. Love that tune. It's the Friday Night Cat Fight Baseball Show. I'm Matt the Cat. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be doing this week's Friday Night Cat Fight, which will be between Buddy Johnson and Count Basie and his orchestra over the song, Did You See Jackie Robinson Hit That Ball? That's coming up in just a few minutes. But now let's talk about those St. Louis Browns. This is kind of interesting. The St. Louis Browns was actually the original name of the St. Louis Cardinals up until 1900. Then they changed the name to the Cardinals, and in 1902, the Browns appeared again as a St. Louis team in the American League. Up until 1953, when the St. Louis Browns left St. Louis for, can you say brighter pastures, in Baltimore, Maryland. They became the Baltimore Orioles. Well, I'll tell you somebody who wasn't really happy about that. Skip Batten. He sang a song about it. Here's the St. Louis Browns. It's the annual baseball show and the Friday Night Cat Fight.
I got the St. Louis Browns. I got the St. Louis Browns. Since the St. Louis Browns left town. Since the St. Louis Browns left town. Ooh, we're the St.
what you found. The St. Louis Browns were a baseball team, and they lost more than the Mets could ever dream. They had a one-armed man in left field named Pete Gray, 44. There's no healthy man around to play baseball, and they's all away fighting in a war. Bill Vett came along as general manager along about 47. He hired a man to play for them. He stood about 4'11". I got the St. Louis Browns. I got the St. Louis Browns. Since the St. Louis Browns left town. Since the St. Louis Browns left town. Who were the St. Louis Browns? Tell us what you found. The St. Louis Browns were a baseball team, and they lost more than the Mets could ever dream. Ah, St. Louis had a hitter, Roy Seavers was his name. Telling that team's dismal history, he hit many homers in many games. They had a no-hit pitcher, they pitched a real humdinger. But Bob Turley got too surly, and they traded him too early. I got the St. Louis Browns. I got the St. Louis Browns. Since the St. Louis Browns left town. Since the St. Louis Browns left town. Who were the St. Louis Browns? Tell us what you found. Ah, they never had a Virgil fire truck, but they always had. Now many a Missouri boy, how he loved those dangerous cars, but he never loved the lonely Browns, although they tried so hard. Meanwhile, folks in Baltimore, they wanted a baseball team, so they called St. Louis up and said, do you think the Browns can leave town and become part of our Baltimore dream? Well, you know what happened. The Baltimore Orioles became a real winning club, and in the hearts of all teenage boys everywhere, who are now in their 30s and 40s, well, sometimes they look at their falling out hair, and they remember when they had the St. Louis Browns. Had the St. Louis Browns. Since the St. Louis Browns left town. Since the St. Louis Browns left town. Who were the St. Louis Browns?
Henry Aaron in the second inning walked and scored. He's sitting on 714. Here's the pitch by Downing. Swinging. There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 7:15. There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron. The fireworks are going. Henry Aaron is coming around third. His teammates are at home plate, and listen to this crowd.
Here's a man from Alabama.
Yes, we were.
Uncle Stab and Love didn't look so good.
No.
Sister Jones, who lived two blocks away, let me tell you,
yeah,
gave me some advice the other day.
What did she say, sir?
She said, Sam, you just like your pa.
Getting on the base, honey, uh-huh, you got to make this go.
Good God.
You might put another man out, but you got to go to bat.
Yeah.
Don't you try to swing for a singer, she won't go for that.
Hey.
Make sure you don't be faking when you say you gonna quit her.
Hell yeah.
You might know your very next friend might be her pitch hitter. Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Lord.
Might be a pitch hitter, baby.
Yeah. Look, when you swing for the fence,
putting in a double play, y'all, just don't make no sense.
Good God, hit it,
knock it out the park, yeah.
Hit it,
love is like a
baseball game.
Baby, yeah. You might not know about it, though.
Hit it,
got to knock it out
the park, baby,
you got to play to win, y'all.
Oh, spinning off the Atlantic label, holding stable on my rickety old turntable, 1970. The great Sam and Dave with Knock It Out of the Park, as you can hear, along with crossing all the other genres. Baseball certainly made an impression on the R&B and soul genre as well. 1968, here come the Intruders. Love is just like a baseball game. It's the Friday Night Catfight annual baseball show.
Up. Up to bat,
to bat.
I thought I hit a love run, but to my surprise, I found I didn't hit none. Threw her love so fast, she put me in a daze. Never knew that love could come so many ways.
Strike one.
She took me by surprise. Right in front of my eyes. Oh, I was out without a doubt. Oh,
I was out. Love is just like a baseball game. Three strikes, you're up.
Three strikes, you're out. Whether you win or lose. Oh,
love is just like a baseball game.
It's like a baseball game. Everybody's got to play some. Looks like I'm never gonna win. Oh, I was out without a doubt.
I was out
for
love. Three strikes you're up.
Three strikes you're out. Whether you win or lose.
Everybody's got to face some blue.
Got
I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. That I might have been given a bad break, but I've got an awful lot to live for. Thank you.
Now listen to me, you guys. This game of baseball is only one half skill. The other half is something else. Something bigger. You gotta have heart. All you really need is heart. When the odds are saying you'll never win, that's when the grin should start. You gotta have hope. Mustn't sit around and mope. Nothing's half as bad as it may appear. Wait till next year and hope. When your luck is batting zero, get your chin up off the floor. Mister, you can be a hero. You can open any door. There's nothing to it but to do it. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles and miles of heart. Oh, it's fine to be a genius, of course, but keep that old horse before the cart. First, you gotta have heart.
A great slugger we haven't got.
A great pitcher we haven't got.
A great ball club we haven't got.
What do we got?
We've got heart. All you really need is heart. When the odds are saying you'll never win, that's when the grin should start.
Oh, you're getting the idea.
We've got hope. We don't sit around and mope. Not a solitary sob do we heave, mister, 'cause we've got hope.
Boys, I'm proud of you.
We're so happy that we're humming.
That's the hearty thing to do.
Ho, ho, ho.
'Cause we know our ship will come in.
So it's 10 years overdue.
Ho, ho, ho. We've got heart. Miles and miles and miles of heart. Oh, it's fine to be a genius, of course, but keep that old horse before the cart.
So what the heck's the use of crying?
Why should we curse?
We gotta get better, 'cause we can't get worse.
And to add to it, we've got heart.
Top of the ninth, one away, nobody on. The Senators now just two outs away from the pennant. Bauer steps in. Hollingsworth gets his sign, delivers, Bauer swings, and it's a hard hit ball to deep short. Sohovic charges over, backhands it beautifully, and there's the long throw, and he's out by a step.
Here comes Gloria Thorpe. Tell it to her.
Go ahead, Rocky. You start.
Yeah, go ahead.
We've got heart. All you really need is heart. When the odds are saying you'll never win, that's when the grin should start.
We're so happy that we're laughing.
Ha, ha, ha.
That's the hearty thing to do.
Ho, ho, ho.
So we ain't been autographing.
Ha, ha, ha.
Except to sign an IOU.
Ho, ho, ho. We've got heart. Miles and miles and miles of heart. Oh, it's fine to be a genius, of course, but keep that old horse before the cart.
Who minds them pop bottles flying?
The hisses and boos.
The team has been consistent.
Yeah, we always lose, but we're laughing 'cause
we've got heart. We've got heart. We've got heart.
The North Side diehard stole the show.
The land of Wrigley's in my soul. Come on, Cubbies, let the good times roll. Roll all day long.
Come on, Cubbies, let the good times roll. America's team, so I've been told. Come on, Cubbies, let the good times roll. Roll all day long. Come on, Cubbies, play it in the sun. Don't stop until you run. The preacher bums are gonna have their fun. Roll all day long. It feels so good when you're home. Let's hear it for the Sunshine Boys.
You can't do no wrong.
On the road they beat them night or day. When they're at home they play the natural way. Come on, Cubs, hey, 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 hey. Roll all day long. It feels so good when you're home. Let's hear it for the Sunshine Boys.
You can't do no wrong.
All your own clubs really don't talk. Everybody knows they got the right stuff. Come on, people, how about those Cubs? Roll all day long. Roll all day long. Roll all day long.
Well, people, how about those Cubs?
By the shores of old Lake Michigan, where the hawk wind blows so cold, an old Cub fan lay dying. In his midnight hour, the toll. Round his bed, his friends had all gathered. They knew his time was short. And on his head, they put this bright blue cap from his all-time favorite sport. He told him, "It's late, it's getting dark in here, and I know it's time to go. But before I leave the lineup, boys, there's just one thing that I'd like to know. Do they still play the blues in Chicago when baseball season rolls around? When the snow melts away, do the Cubbies still play in their ivy-covered burial ground? When I was a boy, they were my pride and joy, but now they only bring fatigue to the home of the brave, the land of the free, and the doormat of the National League." He told his friends, "You know the law of averages says anything will happen that can. That's what it says. But the last time the Cubs won a National League pennant was the year we dropped the bomb on Japan. The Cubs made me a criminal, sent me down a wayward path. They stole my youth from me, that's the truth. I'd forsake my teachers to go sit in the bleachers in flagrant truancy. And then one thing led to another, and soon I discovered alcohol, gambling, dope, football, hockey, lacrosse, tennis. But what do you expect when you raise up a young boy's hopes and then just crush them like so many paper beer cups, year after year after year, after year after year after year after year after year, till those hopes are just so much popcorn for the pigeons beneath the L tracks to eat." He said, "You know, I'll never see Wrigley Field anymore before my eternal rest. So if you have your pencils and your scorecards ready, I'll read you my last request." He said, "Give me a doubleheader funeral in Wrigley Field on some sunny weekend day, no lights. Have the organ play the national anthem, and then a little na-na-na-na, hey, 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 goodbye. Make 6 bullpen pitchers carry my coffin, and 6 groundskeepers clear my path. Have the umpires bark me out at every base in all their holy wrath. It's a beautiful day for a funeral. Hey, Ernie, let's play too. go get Jack Brickhouse to come back and conduct just one more interview. Have the Cubbies run right out into the middle of the field. Have Keith Moreland drop a routine fly. Give everybody two bags of peanuts and a frosty malt, and I'll be ready to die. Build a big fire on home plate out of your Louisville Slugger baseball bats and toss my coffin in. Let my ashes blow in a beautiful snow from the prevailing 30-mile-an-hour southwest wind. And when my last remains go flying over the left field wall, we'll bid the bleacher bums adieu. And I will come to my final resting place out on Waveland Avenue. The dying man's friends told him to cut it out. They said, stop it, that's an awful shame. He whispered, don't cry, we'll meet by and by near the Heavenly Hall of Fame. He said, I've got season's tickets to watch the Angels now. So that's just what I'm gonna do. He said, but you, the living, you're stuck here with the Cubs. So it's me that feels sorry for you. And he said, oh, play that Lonesome Losers tune. That's the one I like the best. Closed his eyes and slipped away. Well, Scotty, it was the dying Cub fans' last request. So here it is. Do they still play the blues in Chicago when baseball season rolls around? When the snow melts away, do the Cubbies still play in their ivy cup to bear your ground? When I was a boy, they were my pride and joy, but now they only bring fatigue to the home of the brave.
Steve Goodman, a dying Cub fan's last request. It's the annual baseball show. Heard some great doo-wop before that with Stormy Weather and the Land of Wrigley. I'm Matt the Cat. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, and I really mean that this time, we'll have the Friday Night Cat Fight between Count Basie and his orchestra and Buddy Johnson with Did You See Jackie Robinson Hit That Ball? But before we get to that, let's hear two baseball songs that are inspired by religion. And you know, baseball is a metaphor that's used for many things. You know, well, for love and romance, you know, oh man, she left me sitting on the bench, or, you know, oh, I got to second base, or, tonight I'm going to hit a home run, that sort of thing. Well, they've also used it in a couple of religious sort of connotations as well. This first song was written in 1947 by Johnny Mercer and recorded by Nat King Cole and released on Capitol Records in 1961. Here's the first baseball game. It's the annual baseball show. I'm Matt the Cat. This is the Friday Night Cat Fight.
My sermon today, said the Reverend Jones, is baseball and whence it came. If you take the good book and you take a good look, you will find the first baseball game. It says Eve stole first and Adam second. Solomon umpired the game. Rebecca went to the well with the pitcher, and Ruth in the field made a name. Goliath was struck out by David. A base hit made on Abel by Cain. And the prodigal son made a great home run. Brother Noah gave checks out for rain. Now old St. Pete was checking errors, also had charge of the gate. Salome sacrificed Big John the Baptist, who wound up ahead on the plate. Delilah was pitching to Samson when he brought down the house with a clout. And the angels that day
made a double play. That's when Adam and Eve were thrown out. Now Jonah wailed and went down swinging. Later he popped up again. A line drive by old Nebuchadnezzar made Daniel warm up in the pen. Satan was pitching that apple. It looked as though he might fan them all. But then Joshua let go with a mighty blow, and he blasted one right at the wall, shouting, come along and let's play ball.
Sister Winona Carr, The Ball Game, one of the most requested songs on my old Night Prowl show. So all you Night Prowlers, I'm sure, remember me playing that one all the time. I'm Matt the Cat, and it's time, I can't believe, we're this far into the show. And it's time now for the world-famous Friday Night Catfight. Yes, a battle is going to take place on this annual baseball show between Buddy Johnson and Count Basie. Over the tune, did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball, baby? It went zooming across the left field wall. Buddy Johnson wrote and originally recorded the tune in 1949. It peaked at number 13 on the rhythm and blues charts. And it's coming at you first. I want you to listen to this version in its entirety. Don't rush to judgment. And then dig on Count Basie afterwards and pick the one you truly dig the most. Then go back to matthecat.com/FNCF and vote for the version you truly dig the most. Here on the annual baseball show, Buddy Johnson and his orchestra. Did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball? 1949.
Jackie hits that ball.
When he swung his bat, the crowd went wild, because he knocked that ball a solid mile. Yeah, boy.
Yes, yes, Jackie hits that ball. Satchel Paige's melon, so is Campanella, Newcomb and Dobie too. But it's a natural fact, when Jackie comes to bat, the other team is through. Boy,
did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball? Did he hit it? Boy, and that ain't all. It's going on.
Yes, yes, Jack is real gone. Satchel Paige is Mella, so is Campanella, Newcomb and Dobie too. But it's a natural fact, when Jackie comes to bat, the other team is through. Boy,
did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball? Did he hit it? Boy, that ain't all, he's going home.
Yes, yes, Jack is real gone. Jackie is a real gone guy.
Yes, Jackie hit that ball.
And when he swung his bat, the crowd went wild, because he knocked that ball a solid mile. Yeah, boy.
Yes, yes, Jackie hit that ball. Satchel Paige is mellow, so is Campanella, Newcomb and Dobie too. But it's a natural fact, when Jackie comes to bat, the other team is through.
Did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball? Did he hit it? Yes! And that ain't all, he's so whole!
Yes, yes, Jackie's real gone. Jack is real gone, cause Jackie is a real gone guy.
Well, there you have it. Count Basie and his orchestra from 1949. And before that, Buddy Johnson with the original version of Did You See Jackie Robinson Hit That Ball, also from 1949. Now, which one did you dig the most? Go back to matthecat.com/FNCF and vote for the one you truly dig the most. Did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball? Oh, baby, both versions are fantastic, but I think one's a little bit better than the other one. Let me know what you think. And please, leave a comment on the page when you vote as well. Let me know if you dug this annual baseball show. I usually do it on the radio, but this year, I'm doing it on the web as a podcast. And this podcast is topping out at over 2 hours, if you can believe that, cats and kittens. Over 2 hours of great baseball classics. Pass this one on to all your friends, anyone who loves baseball or just loves American history in general. There's some great songs, there's some great history, some great historical elements featured in this podcast. So please pass it on to anyone you think would dig the show. And this podcast is going to be here for the next 2 weeks. I'm not recording a new show next week, so fear not. This baseball show will be up for the next 2 weeks. So listen to it as much as you want. And like I said, pass it around to all your friends. I'm Matt the Cat, and I want to thank you for making it to this point in the 2 hour broadcast. I hope you enjoyed yourself as much as I enjoyed putting this together. This is one of my passions each year, putting together the baseball show. Now we're going to end the program like I used to end the program on the radio, with the greatest baseball poem of all time, Casey at the Bat. This great poem was written in 1888 by Ernest Thayer, and it was first published in the San Francisco Examiner on June 3rd, 1888. The version we play here is done by DeWolf Hopper in 1906. And man, the emotion that DeWolf Hopper displays on this record is just fantastic. I love it. I hope you do too. So remember, keep on prowling. Me or team go all the way this year. Have a great week. I'll see you in 2 weeks for a brand new Friday Night Cat Fight show. Goodbye, everybody, and let's play ball.
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2 with but one inning more to play. And so when Cooney died at first and Burrows did the same, a sickly silence fell upon the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to go in deep despair. The rest clung to that hope which springs eternal in the human breast. They thought if only Casey could but get a whack at that, we'd put up even money now with Casey at the bat. But Flynn preceded Casey, as did also Jimmy Blake, and the former was a no-good and the latter was a fake. So upon that stricken multitude grim melancholy sat, for there seemed but little chance of Casey's getting to the bat. But Flynn let drive a single to the wonderment of all, and Blake the much despised tore the cover off the ball. And when the dust had arisen and the men saw what had occurred, there was Blake a safe at second and Flynn a hugging third. Then from 5,000 throats went up a lusty yell. It rumbled in the valley, it rattled in the dell. It knocked upon the mountain top and recoiled upon the flat. For Casey, mighty Casey, was advancing to the bat. There was pride in Casey's bearing as he stepped into his place. There was ease in Casey's manner and a smile on Casey's face. And when responding to the cheers, he lightly doffed his hat. No stranger in the crowd could doubt 'twas a Casey at the bat. 10,000 eyes were on him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 10,000 hands applauded as he wiped them on his shirt. And when the writhing pitcher ground the ball into his hip, defiance gleamed in Casey's eye. A sneer curled Casey's lip. And now the leather-covered sphere came hurtling through the air, and Casey stood watching it in laughter. A grandeur there, close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped. "That ain't my style," said Casey. "Strike One, the umpire said. Then from the benches, Blackwood people went up a muffled roar, like the beaten storm waves on a stern and distant shore. Kill him! Kill the umpire! Cried someone on the stand, and it's likely they'd have killed him had not Casey raised his hand. With a smile of Christian charity, great Casey's visage shone. He stilled the rising tumult. He bade the game go on. He signaled to the pitcher. Once more the spheroid flew, but Casey still ignored it, and the umpire said, "Strike two!" "Hurrah!" cried the maddened thousands, and echo answered fraud. But one scornful look from Casey, and the multitude was awed. They saw his face grow stern and cold. They saw his muscles strain. And they knew that Casey wouldn't let that ball go by again. The smile is gone from Casey's face. His teeth are clenched in hate. He pounds with cruel violence his bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball, and now he lets it go. And now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. Somewhere bands are playing. Somewhere hearts are light. Somewhere men are laughing. And somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
Baseball is a president tossing out the first ball of the season and a pudgy schoolboy playing catch with his dad on a Mississippi farm. A tall, thin old man waving a scorecard from the corner of his dugout. That's baseball. And so is a big, fat guy with a bulbous nose running home one of his 714 home runs. There's a man in Mobile who remembers that Hannes Wagner hit a triple in Pittsburgh 46 years ago. That's baseball. And so is a scout reporting that a 16-year-old Sandlot pitcher in Cheyenne is a coming Walter Johnson. Baseball is a spirited race of man against man, reflex against reflex, of game of inches. Every skill is measured, every heroic, every failing, seen and cheered or booed, and then becomes a statistic. In baseball, democracy shines its clearest. The only race that matters is the race of the bag. The creed is a rule book, and color merely something to distinguish one team's uniform from another. Baseball is a rookie, his experience no bigger than the lump in his throat as he begins fulfillment of his dream. It's a veteran, too. A tired old man of 35, hoping those aching muscles can pull him through another sweltering August and September. Nicknames of baseball, names like Zeke and Pie and Kai Kai and Home Run and Cracker and Dizzy and Dazzy. Baseball is the clear, cool eyes of Rogers Hornsby, the flashing spikes of a Ty Cobb, and an overaged pixie named Rabbit Moranville. Baseball, just a game, as simple as a ball and bat, and yet as complex as the American spirit it symbolizes. It's a sport, a business, sometimes almost even religion. Why, the fairy tale of Willie Mays making a brilliant World Series catch and then dashing off to play stickball in the streets with his teenage pals. That's baseball. And so is the husky voice of a doomed Lou Gehrig saying, "I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of this earth." Baseball is cigar smoke, hot roasted peanuts, ladies' day, down in front, take me out to the ball game, the seventh inning stretch, and the star-spangled banner. Baseball is a man named Caponella telling the nation's business leaders, "You have to be a man to be a big leaguer, but you have to have a lot of little boy in you, too." This is a game for America, this baseball. A game for boys and for men.
There's the windup. Here's the pitch. It's a slow curve low, and the Babe swings. It's a long one going out toward right center. Stengler's backing up against the wall. He can't get it. It's in there. Another home run for the Bambino.
Robinson waits. Here comes the pitch. And there goes a line drive to left field. Swan is after it. He leaps. It's over.